appreciate everyone that came out today. I knew that there would be a crowd, and I'm sure that under normal circumstances, with everything that's going on in the world, there'd probably be a bigger crowd. But I want to thank everyone that's involved, everyone that came out. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I changed my text about five or six times in preparing for this. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I've preached more funerals than I can count in my ministry, but this is the first funeral I've ever preached of a mighty warrior. And I don't mean that just because he was my grandfather. And I don't mean that just because he was a soldier of the United States Army, because certainly he was that, and he loved his country. But I mean that because he was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And as a faithful servant of Christ, as a mighty warrior of the Lord, he, like Paul, here in this text, he was ready to go home. Those who knew him well knew that, especially over the last few years, he was more than ready. He spoke of death openly and freely. And on Monday morning, he went home. The reality is that one of these days, we all will die. There's lots of statistics out there about all sorts of things, but let me give you one that you can take home with you. 10 out of every 10 people will die. You'll die of something. I'll die of something. He died of something. Ever since sin entered into this world, death has come. But very few have been ready to go like he was. And so this morning, or this afternoon as it is, I'd like for us to consider for a few moments, what is it that makes men like James Hobbs or the Apostle Paul here in our text, what is it that makes them ready to go? How was it that they were ready? I think it's good to consider that. You know, Paul wrote a lot in the Scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I think that's the legacy that my grandfather leaves behind. When you look at his life, there's a lot of things that you can look at. And you, even as you read his obituary, you can glean a lot of those things. He was a school teacher. He was a soldier. He was a pastor. And you can glean a lot of those things. But I think the one thing that Grandpa left behind that he would want all of us to follow after him was that he was a follower of Christ. I know that's the thing that he left with me. As I was growing up in his shadow. So how was it that he prepared for this day? He was better prepared for it than we were, I can guarantee you that. First of all, he was born again. And I ask you this afternoon, do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? Brother Rex touched on it, and I appreciated that. And I'm sure it's going to be touched on again before the day is out. Long before James Hobbs was born, he had been chosen, and Jesus loved him, and James Hobbs loved Jesus in his life and in his ministry. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He preached. He preached a lot, didn't he? I wonder sometimes how many sermons he preached in his lifetime. I suppose that maybe only God knows how many he preached. But he preached a lot. But let me tell you, Jesus was the central theme of his sermons. And Jesus was the central theme of his life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus was the theme of his preaching. Jesus was the hero of his life. And while we thank God for James Hobbs and the things that he did, let us remember that James Hobbs was a mountain of a man, a big man. But only because of the big God that he served. Only because of the mighty Jesus who had saved him and called him to preach. I heard him, as I sat in church, give invitations at the close of the sermon so many times, and he would tell us. He would say, "I can't save you." And I remember as a young boy looking up to Grandpa like he could do everything. I thought, man, if Grandpa can't save me, then who can? Until that day came that I met the one who could. And that's who Grandpa had been talking about all that time. He would always point us to Christ. And he knew that salvation was more than just a one-time experience. In other words, my grandfather, he knew that God didn't just save a person to sit on the sideline somewhere and wait. Oh, Grandpa was waiting for the Lord to call him home. He was looking for the Lord's return. He believed in the imminent return of Christ. But he wasn't sitting idly by waiting. My goodness, some of my earliest memories of Grandpa, I thought he was already 100 years old. And he was doing so much, working in the garden, traveling here, there, and everywhere. But he was serving the Lord through his church. He was ready to work until the Lord called him home. In fact, he told me plenty of times. He said that, David, there's no retirement age in the Bible. And let me tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. Let me tell you, when it came to the point where he knew that he needed to retire from pastoring, he sought counsel, and he did it with a lot of prayer. But his big concern wasn't about his name. His big concern was about the Lord's name and the Lord's church. One of the biggest indicators to him about that his mind was going, and some of y'all may not even know this, but the first indicator that he had that his mind was not what it used to be was the fact that he couldn't find the books of the Bible when he was preaching. And he was afraid that as he was preaching or that as he was giving counsel to people, that he might give the wrong things or have trouble and be the wrong kind of an example for the Lord. And he toiled over that for a long time. But listen, he was ready to meet the Lord. In those years that he served the Lord at King's Edition, he served the Lord in his church. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about spending and being spent. And that's what Grandpa did. I get a chuckle as I go around places and people don't realize how small King's Edition Baptist Church really was. But Grandpa, as pastor, led that church. And that church, as they served together through the years, and sometimes it would grow big or bigger, and then oftentimes it'd get small, but through the years, great things were done. In fact, many of y'all sitting here today came out of that church and started in that church. Grandpa believed in the sovereignty of God, but he also believed in human responsibility and how that we need to do things for the Lord. He was getting ready to meet the Lord. He always said, when you come to church, you got to dress your best because you're meeting the Lord. He was ready to meet the Lord in heaven, but he was also face to face with the Lord here on earth too, in faith. As a preacher, he served as missionary, pastor, and he took every opportunity to preach he had. As an old man, I mean, he traveled all over this country. Seldom said no to the opportunity to preach. On the radio, later on the internet, reel to reel, to cassette, CD, and MP3. He wasn't afraid to adopt new technologies. I heard stories of how he would preach every day of the week, going sometimes miles in between. He would go to Bible conferences, but then King's Edition would host some huge Bible conferences. And those things were used for the glory of God. And he loved those Bible conferences too. He lined them preachers up and he got subjects for them. And he was a stickler for them 30 minutes when he pulled on that tail of that coat if you went over. I can't imagine he's up there in heaven. If there's Bible conferences in heaven, he's there right now. It was at the end of a Bible conference in 1992 that I was saved. God used those things. He was a man of prayer. Oh, how he prayed. In the house, at the church. All night prayer meetings at King's Edition. You know, some of y'all remember those. Even there, at the end, he'd pray. He'd pray with you and for you. He was a lifelong learner and also a teacher. And missions. Man, he was a missionary. He was a missionary-minded man. Not only did he serve as a missionary, but he was never content just to receive the mission reports. He went to the mission fields. And when people were running their mouths and spreading rumors about men, he'd go and see things for himself. He wasn't content just to hear stories. He went and saw for himself what was going on. He was a man of great hospitality. Him and Grandma opened their homes to everyone. Rich, poor, black, white, and everybody in between. I don't suppose that they ever met a stranger. And even there at the house, if you ever got the chance to go and visit him, if you didn't, you missed out on a good opportunity. You didn't even have to hardly knock, but he'd yell from the other side, "Come on in." He didn't know who was on the other side, but he'd say, "Come on in." It was a great example of who a pastor should be. And not only a pastor, but a Christian. And even when dementia was starting to take its ugly toll on his mind, he could still recognize the truth. Call out error, although it took him a little longer to sort it all out sometimes. In Romans 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." One of the nice things about my grandfather is that he was a man who had a widespread cassette recording ministry. So I've been able to hear a lot of his tapes. Some of them I heard in person growing up. Some of them I didn't get to hear. But I'm able to take those and put them on MP3 and try to preserve them. Then he also traveled. And one of the sermons, one of my favorite sermons that he preached for us in Mansfield was in 2009. And it was on the subject of faith. I love his sermons that he preached, but it wasn't just that. As a preacher, it's important that you preach the right sermons, obviously. But it's also the life that you live. When you're in the pulpit and when you're out of the pulpit. When you're in the church building and when you're at home. And when you're at other people's homes. And when you're in public as well as private. He was prepared. He lived by faith, not by sight. And that testimony is spoken of not just by those who knew him here, but all over the world. We've gotten so many calls and so many letters and so many texts from people all over the world that bear witness of his life. No, he wasn't sitting down idly waiting for the Lord to call him home. He was ready by serving the Lord, working for the Lord, doing what he could in every season of his life. There was work to be done. Just like his Savior before him, he had to be about his Father's business. That's the legacy that he leaves behind. That's the life that he lived. I don't know where you're at today, as far as spiritually speaking, but I would ask you the question, are you ready to go? Because one of these days, you might be right there, and we might be talking about you. One of these days, you'll meet the Lord. How will you meet Him? Some things to consider. May God add the blessing to His Word.